Good morning. Let us go to God in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this morning, for the lovely sunshine and Thy goodness to us. We pray for that the Holy Spirit will be our guide and our teacher, and that our heart will be open to the teachings. We pray for forgiveness of our sins. For we know that we are flesh and blood and always transgressing Thee against Thy word. And we also know that Thou art our loving Heavenly Father. Thou will forgive us if we ask Thee to forgive us. If we repent of our sins and turn away from our wickedness, You will surely bless us and help us. So this day we pray for Thy goodness to us, as we learn of this teaching on the Ark of the Covenant and the holy items, that we will know that we are special, and that Thou will always be with Thy people in the Old Testament and now in the church age. Although differently, Thou lovest us and care for us. We pray for many who are sick, that Thou will heal them and bless them, and that they will recover speedily. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, we are going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant and the holy items. It's found in Exodus 25. Some background: Moses and the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, and after giving the Ten Commandments and the various laws to the Israelites, God gave instructions for the building of the Ark of the Covenant, the table for the bread of presence, and the lampstand. All this is in Exodus 25. So you recall, last week I talked about the Book of the Covenant, which is, there are many laws after the Ten Commandments were given, and these were judicial laws, as in protection of property, penalties against murder, theft, kidnapping, and so on and so forth. And if a person is injured or a person's property has been damaged, what are the penalties for the culprit? And so God was not just a spiritual God and up there. He was also very mindful of how people relate to people. If you injure someone, you must be liable to compensate that someone for the injuries and make sure this, the injuries are restored, that he is in good health. If you damage property of somebody, then you must also restore compensation to somebody. So all these are important to God, yeah? And He gave various laws for the relationship of people. And now, after the Book of Covenant were given, He came to this important part about the Ark of Covenant, table of for the bread of presence, and lampstand. And these laws, and also the holy items, were part of the ceremonial regulations of the Mosaic Law. Okay? So if you recall, the Mosaic Law has three parts: the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 20:1 to 21, the Book of the Covenant, which were the judicial laws, found in Exodus 20:22 to chapter 24:11. And now, the ceremonial regulations are found in Exodus 24:12 to 31:18. Okay. So, the Ark of the Covenant, as you can see now, is something very grand, imposing, and holy. And it is the so-called where God takes residence. Okay? where God can be found during the time of Moses. And of course, your question is, God is everywhere. He's here with us now. He's outside the church. He's everywhere. Why does God put himself in a little item like this to be found in this Ark of the Covenant? I think God, at that time, was revealing himself to the Israelites. Yeah? And as people, human beings like you and I, the Israelites cannot visual what is God like. He's a spirit. He's everywhere. He can't be seen. He's a spirit. So God says, now build this Ark of the Covenant and I will dwell with my people. So as though that is God's residence. He takes residence in the Ark. He is there. You can see the Ark. The Israelites can see the Ark. And they will worship God in the Ark. So that's important to teach the Israelites, that they can focus their eyes, their mind, and their speech towards the Ark, because God says he is there. Okay? And it's not just symbolically he's there. He's really there. Because he says in chapter 25, he will speak from above the cover of the Ark and between the two cherubims. That is where he will speak from. Okay, I'll show you more about that later on. So let me go to what chapter 25 says. And God said to Moses, they shall make an ark of acacia wood. So the ark is actually a wooden box made of acacia wood. Okay, like this, what you see now. Okay. And 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, 1.5 cubits, its height. What is a cubit? In those days, they don't have a ruler, inch and centimeters. They don't have that. They have this. They measure a cubit from the bell elbow to the tip of the middle finger. That is 1 cubit. Quite smart. Yeah? So everywhere they've got the ruler. That's the length of the arm. Yeah? So they measure that based on cubit. Yeah? You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it. So there you go. The box, wooden box, is now laid with gold inside and outside. Yeah? And you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. So you see on top, there are these fine ornamental features. They're called the molding on top of the box. Yeah? Can you see my cursor? Yeah? Yep. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet. 2 rings on the one side of it and 2 rings on the other side of it. So you see right at the bottom of the box, you see 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side. Also overlaid in gold. You shall make posts of acacia wood. So you have 2 wooden posts that go through the rings on both sides. That's for carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah? And overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the Ark to carry the Ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. So you can see that the 2 wooden poles were overlaid with gold and they are inside the 2 rings. And they would not be removed from the rings. They are for purposes of carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you, the two stones with the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot containing manna. So you see in the ark, you've got the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. You have got a rod that has budded, yeah? Aaron's rod. And you've got the jar containing manna. Yeah? So these are the items in the ark, explicitly instructed by God. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. So you see on top of the box, on top of the ark, there is a cover. Yeah? A flat cover. The flat cover is made of gold. It is called the mercy seat. Right? And you shall make 2 cherubims of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So, on the flat cover, on 2 ends, you have figurines of angels called cherubims. And they are also overlaid in gold. So you see these 2 figurines, they are actually the wings of the angel being stretched forward. Yeah, so you can see, you can have a better view in the next picture. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. So God is very clear in his instruction, very detailed. He wants 1 angel at one end of the cover and another angel at the other end of the cover. Yeah? 1 end each. Yeah. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on its 2 ends. So the cherubim is 1 piece with the cover. Yeah. So you see the cherubim here? Yeah, it's the figure of an angel with wings stretched forward. Yeah. And so the 2 angels face each other with wings stretched forward. And why does God give instructions like this? The 2 angels face each other with wings stretched forward and bowing. Because God will speak from just above the mercy seat between the 2 angels. That is where God will speak from to Moses. Yeah? So the 2 angels are bowing towards God when he makes his speech. The cherubims shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces, one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. So again, very detailed, clearly telling Moses how to build the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubims. Yeah? There should be no mistake in the instruction. Very clear, very detailed. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. So again, giving detailed instructions of where is the mercy seat, which is on top, it's the top cover of the ark. And inside the ark you will put the testimony being the 2 tablets of the Ten Commandments, which God will give Moses. So the most holy item is the Ark of the Covenant during the time of the Israelites in the days of Moses. God will meet with his people above the mercy seat between the 2 cherubims. So let me read to you Exodus 25, verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So again, very clearly telling Moses, where will God talk to Moses? On top of the cover of the ark and between the two cherubims, God will talk to Moses. Yeah? On the Day of Atonement, being the Jewish most holy event of the year, the high priest sprinkles blood on the mercy seat. You can find that in Leviticus 16:15. The blood is accepted by God in atonement for the sins of Israel. And the atonement cover, the mercy seat, symbolizes for Israel what would be accomplished by Christ, who made atonement for sin as the Lamb of God. This Day of Atonement is the most holy event in the period of the Israelites. Yeah? It is a day where there is atonement for sin. As you know, as the Israelites, they are all human beings like you and I. We are all sinful beings. And because of sin, there is this separation between God and human being. God is perfect and holy. We are sinful and evil. And how do we bridge this gap? God being perfect and holy, and we are unholy and sinful, God demands blood sacrifice. Yeah. Very serious. It gives you the idea that sin is a very serious thing. The wages of sin is death. We are all doomed to die because of our sin. Because God is perfect and holy. How can we go to God imperfect and unholy and wicked and evil with our sin? We can't. So God demands blood sacrifice. And so, when Christ came, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross so that His blood can compensate for our sin. His own Son to be crucified on the cross so that the blood of Christ is atonement for our sin. This speaks volumes of the love of God for us. He's willing to sacrifice His Son to rescue us from eternal damnation. Because of Christ's blood, we are all saved. Christ has atoned our sins with His blood. So no longer do we face judgment and eternal damnation in hell, we have everlasting life. So it is the same understanding here, the Day of Atonement. In that time, at that time, 1400 BC, Christ had not come. Christ will come 1400 years later. But they have to go through this Day of Atonement, where the high priest will go to the Ark of the Covenant and sprinkle the blood of bull and goats onto the mercy seat as atonement for the sins of the Israelites. And God accepts that blood, foreseeing the blood of Christ to come 1,400 years later. That blood, which is sprinkled on the mercy seat, represented the blood of Christ to come. And God willingly accepted that as atonement for the sins of the Israelites. Yeah? So it is a story of love. A very supreme sacrifice and love. Who in his right mind would send his Son to die for another person. Nobody. Our Heavenly Father did this. When we were still sinners, He sent His Son to die, shed His blood, so that the blood of Christ is atonement for our sins. Yeah? And that God did it out of love for us. See? So that is the meaning of the Day of Atonement, which I will go into more detail in a later lesson in Leviticus. So the ark was to be placed in the Holy of the Holies, also known as the most holy place, in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a tent. It's a tent the size of a Olympic, sorry. I'll show you a tabernacle later, but this is what you see in this picture now is part of the tabernacle, part of the tent. And this tent is divided into two compartments. One compartment is called the Holy of the Holies, the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant is placed. So you see here, looking from the top, you see the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of the Holies, in the tabernacle. Yeah, there's one item there. Just one item. Yeah. And then you see the other half of the tabernacle is called the Holy Place, where there are other holy items found there, which God gave instructions for. Okay? And Exodus 25:22, I will speak with you about all I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. Yeah? So God says He will speak from the Ark of the Covenant regarding whatever He commands the Israelites to do. Okay. Now I would like to talk about the table of the bread of presence. So this is another holy item, and it is found in the second compartment of the tabernacle. Not in the Holy of the Holies, but in the holy place. Yeah. It is a table. The dimensions are given. Made of acacia wood, covered with gold, carried by gold covered poles. So similar design criteria. There are to be rings for the poles for carrying the table. And on top of the table are found 12 loaves of bread, yeah, the unleavened bread, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. So also on the table are golden plates, ladles, pitchers, and bowls. So you see here, a golden table, and on top you have 12 pieces of bread, yeah, representing the 12 tribes. And then you have a pitcher, you have ladles, and the flat bowls containing the bread. And this represents communion of God with the 12 tribes. Each bread represents, each loaf, each leavened bread representing a tribe. Of course, you remember there are 12 tribes of Jacob, and God will commune with His people. Yeah? When you eat, there's communion. So that's the idea of the bread. God, communion, God eating together with the 12 tribes, spiritually speaking. So this table with the 12 loaves pictures the fellowship and communion of God with His people. The priest eating the bread demonstrates that fellowship among believers supports spiritual life. So in a similar way, today we also commune, we have communion with God. Just as in those days, there is the idea of communion. This table of the presence and the 12 pieces of bread came from God, His instruction, because He wants to show communion with His people. Today, we don't have 12 pieces of unleavened bread. But we still have communion with God, right? Very close communion. We pray, we read the Bible, and there is understanding from what God wants us to do in His Word, in our interaction with believers, with the pastors, elders, fellow Christians. We understand what God wants us to do, how God wants us to behave, our speech, our thought. We know we have communion with God. Very importantly, if we are really gone wayward, we know we have gone wayward. Things will not be the same in our life. We'll meet with trouble, difficulties in our life. God is telling us, yeah, you are outside His bounds, His boundary of holy living, and you should come back again. So we have communion with God. Yeah. Next, the lampstand. The lampstand provides light for the function of the priest. So Christ is the light of the world today. Yeah. And from John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the light. So this lampstand is found in the second room, the place of the holy place. Yeah? And it's lighted up to provide light so that the priests, when they go into the holy place to do their function as priests, to clean the place and also to change the bread and burn incense, there is light in the tabernacle because of the lampstand. And in a way, the light shows us that Christ is the light and truth for our life. So the significance of this lesson, wherever the Israelites went, God signified His presence with the Israelites through the Ark of the Covenant. So you see in this picture, the Ark of the Covenant will be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, a particular tribe instructed by God. So even the people who carry the Ark of the Covenant is instructed by God. Not anyone can carry the Ark of the Covenant. God specifically instructs only the Levites can do it, not the other tribes. And this is how they do it. Yeah, you see, remember the two poles? So they carry on their shoulders and they walk from place to place. So everybody who follow the Ark of the Covenant can see, focus their eyes and their ideas that God is leading them on in the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah? So God was with His people in the Ark of the Covenant. And the high priest had to atone for the sins of the Israelites on the Day of Atonement. And this Day of Atonement, as I told you earlier, the significance of the Day of Atonement is only done once a year in the place, in the most holy place. The high priest alone can go into that Holy of the Holies once a year. Nobody else. Again, it is God's instruction. So, all the time, the place of the most holy place is empty of anybody. Nobody goes in there because that is God's instruction. Once a year, the priest will come in and perform the rituals of the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the Israelites. Again, that is God's requirement. Why is this so? Because God is holy, perfect, and pure. The people are sinful, wicked, and evil. There has to be a separation. And the wages of sin is death. So there is the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the Israelites so that they will not die eternally. And that atonement ritual symbolizes the coming of Christ, his death on the wicked cross, when Christ shed his blood to atone for the sins of the whole world. So it's a foreseeing of what was to come. And that God accepts as good atonement. So what should we do? In Exodus, we learn that God will meet with his people above the mercy seat between the two cherubims. Meet with his people means Moses and the high priest. Nobody else can go into the Holy of the Holies. That was in the days of Moses. How about today? What should we do? God no longer speaks to us above the mercy seat between the two cherubims. In 586 BC, when the Babylonians invaded Judah, the Ark of the Covenant went missing. So many people believe that it's God's will, that God kept the Ark of the Covenant, no longer to be found. Even today, if you Google, where is the Ark of the Covenant? You find some interesting information. Some will tell you it is found in Ethiopia or some other place in the world. But truly speaking, it is not found. Okay? And why? Because God is present with us today by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. New Testament, Romans 8:9. There is no need for God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant. Let me read to you in Romans 8:9. And ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be ye, and if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. All of us believers have the Spirit of God in us. Spirit of God is just, it's not something which is unimportant, or metaphorically speaking, spirit. We all have spirit. We are very high in spirit. We're very cheerful in spirit. No, that's not what it means. This spirit is actually a person, the third person of God. God comes in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Okay? It's difficult to understand this. Yeah? How can three persons be one? Yeah? Three persons are three separate individuals. No. Yeah? It's a mystery. Many of the things we don't understand of God, but it is told to us. And this third person, the Holy Spirit, resides in us, dwells inside us, teaches us, guides us. It comes in the form like a conscience. When you do things which are not in accordance with God, you feel that there is something wrong. I shouldn't be doing it. That's the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? The Holy Spirit will tell you, is it right or wrong to do it? You will feel your guilty conscience if you attempt to do something which is wrong. That is the Holy Spirit telling you, you shouldn't do it. It's not God's will. It's against God's commandment. Yeah? So God, the Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. Non-believers do not have the Holy Spirit in them. Yeah? So as a result, today we don't need the Ark of the Covenant to show God's presence with us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And when we pray, the Holy Spirit is in us as well, teaching us how to pray to God the Father. And we will pray the right prayer because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is within us, teaching us how to seek forgiveness and repent, how to seek for our needs, how to praise and thank God. It's all the teaching and guidance of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we will pray rightly before God the Father. And therefore, we have very close communion with God. We don't need, again, I repeat, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant as in the days of Moses. Right? So, Leviticus teaches the Day of Atonement. High priest sprinkles bull and goat's blood on the mercy seat for the atonement of the sin of the Israelites. The atonement cover or the mercy seat symbolizes for Israel what will be accomplished by Christ, who made atonement for sin as the Lamb of God. So in those days, before the coming of Christ, they had to do this. Yeah? Sprinkling of blood on the cover of the ark to show the blood has been given to atone the sin of the Israelites. But today, we don't do this anymore because Christ has come. 2,000 years ago, he was hung on the cross, crucified, and his blood shed for our sins. So we don't need to sprinkle our blood on the mercy seat because Christ has done it with his blood. He died in our place. He shed his blood in our place so that our sins will be atoned for. And again, that speaks of the love of God for us. He sacrificed his son, shed, accept the blood of his son in substitution of our death. The shedding of his son's blood will be atonement for our sin so that we can have everlasting life. So we are in God's presence wherever we are. We need to be sensitive to God's still small voice in the midst of our busyness. How would God be speaking to us? Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, there's a still small voice. Are we doing right? No, that's not right. We should be doing this. There's a still small voice whispering in us what we should do, what we should not do. Yeah? So we have to be sensitive to God's still small voice in the midst of our busyness. God's word is with us, the Bible instructing us what we must do or not do. We need to read, meditate, and obey God's word. Because when we read, we understand what is God telling us. When we read, we understand what God wants us to do from the Bible. And when we go and do something, we know, is that God's will for us to do? Because we have first read it in the Bible. Be good. Turn from evil. Seek peace. Am I doing what is good in the Word of God? If not, I should be turning away from it. So God is guiding us through His Word, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We also need to constantly thank God for His mercy by saving us from our sins through Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Then the 12 loaves of bread, the table of the bread of the presence. This table with the 12 loaves pictures the fellowship and communion of God with His people. The priests eating the bread demonstrate that fellowship among believers supports spiritual life. We need to prioritize our communion with God. Obviously, God is telling us communion with Him is very important. He has a table of the unleavened bread in the tabernacle, showing the Israelite people that He is in communion with them. So similarly for us today, we have communion. You and I, we are having communion now. We come, listen to the sermon. There is communion with the pastor, the speaker. And also, very importantly, our communion during our quiet time every day, a private time between God and us through God's word, through prayer, through meditating, through thinking about what God has done for us, and also thinking about our sins, seeking forgiveness and repentance. How to turn away from our sin? How to not repeat our sins again? More for myself. My problem is repeating my sins. So I must be very focused. This is my common flaw. I must focus and not to repeat it. So I'm sure we all have our weaknesses. So we must always be focused not to repeat what we have already asked God to forgive us. God has forgiven you, and you repeat, and we repeat the same sin again. That is not repentance. So we have to seek forgiveness and repent. So as our loving Heavenly Father, He listens to us during our prayer in quiet time. And we also need to fellowship with each other, believers, to strengthen each other's spiritual lives. So we have communion by listening to what other people say about how God has touched their life, protected them, guide them in their lives. In the same way, what God has done for them, God will do for us. So we learn from each other. We have communion and fellowship with believers, because that is the way God wants us to learn from Him. And the lampstand, of course, the lampstand provides light for the priestly duties. And so Christ also is the light of the world today. Christ says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So we thank God for Jesus, who is the only Savior of the world. Be sure that you are truly born again through faith in Jesus. Love Jesus and walk close with Him. I think we have time, and I would like to show you a video of the Ark of the Covenant.
Chapter 25. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they take an offering for me. From everyone whose heart makes him willing, you shall take my offering. This is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, sea cow hides, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tent, and the pattern of all of its furniture, even so you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. Its length shall be 2.5 cubits, its breadth 1.5 cubits, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. You shall overlay it inside and outside, and you shall make a gold molding around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 feet. 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. You shall put the testimony which I shall give you into the ark. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. You shall make 2 cherubim of hammered gold. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at the one end, and 1 cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim on its 2 ends of 1 piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim shall spread out their wings upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces toward one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. There I will meet with you, and I will tell you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, all that I command you for the children of Israel. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, and 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it. You shall make a rim of a handbreadth around it. You shall make a golden molding on its rim around it. You shall make 4 rings of gold for it, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on its 4 feet. The rings shall be close to the rim, for places for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its spoons, its ladles, and its bowls to pour out offerings with. You shall make them of pure gold. You shall set bread of the presence on the table before me always. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. Of hammered work shall the lampstand be made, even its base, its shaft, its cups, its buds, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. There shall be 6 branches going out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of its other side. 3 cups made like almond blossoms on 1 branch, a bud and a flower, and 3 cups made like almond blossoms on the other branch, a bud and a flower. So for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand, and in the lampstand 4 cups made like almond blossoms, its buds and its flowers, and a bud under 2 branches of 1 piece with it, and a bud under 2 branches of 1 piece with it, and a bud under 2 branches of 1 piece with it, for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand. Their buds and their branches shall be of 1 piece with it, all of it beaten work of pure gold. You shall make its lamps 7, and they shall light its lamps to give light to the space in front of it. Its snuffers and its snuff dishes shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of 1 talent of pure gold, with all these accessories. See that you make them after their pattern, which has been shown to you on the mountain.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson on the Ark of the Covenant and the holy items. No longer do we have the Ark of the Covenant with us, but we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee and praise Thee. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our comforter, our teacher, that we know what to do, what not to do, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, by Thy word, and our daily communion with Thee in our quiet time. So help us, Lord, to walk a life which is honoring and pleasing to Thee, free from sin, a life of victory, a life of peace and comfort, a life of blessedness. So we thank Thee for this lesson. We praise Thee and glorify Thee always. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Next week we will talk about the tabernacle.